WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. And it's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth,
very
Charlie Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us, sir. How are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome to Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. This is Dan Pallotta, County Commissioner, Chairman of the Board of Commissioners in Plymouth, and I just want to know why I'm not on the intro. I've earned it. I've been here enough.
4 out of 5 WATD staff members recommend that you are not on the intro.
The 20% should be correct, so it's just like the Trump collusion thing. You got 4 people that are wrong and 20% are right, and you know it. Trump's cleared, Pallotta's cleared, move on.
Yes, it is Dan Pallotta. I was going to say, I was curious how he was going to be able to do the opening, because I did that a couple of weeks ago with another co-host. Dan, in fact, is a guest, but he also is going to sit in and serve as a co-host for this evening. Thank you very much for joining me, Dan.
Thank you for inviting me back.
Dan was very fiery last week, because we had... most of the folks from the county in their representing offices. We had, of course, Mac McDonough,
yep,
of for the probate,
Register
of Probate, and we had John Buckley.
Register of Deeds.
Yeah, and Dan sending me a text message. He goes, how don't you have the most important, how do you not have the most important branch of the county, one of the county commissioners on that show?
I felt slighted. I felt really slighted. Now I know what it's like to go to the Academy Awards and never get up to get that trophy. That's how I felt.
But you probably are getting closer to the trophy than anybody else.
I don't think so.
And you also have the honor. You usually get like a little bit of an honorary. We you noted whenever we do political forums, somehow your name is brought up. It's kind of like.
Yeah, it's brought up in not in a good light, though.
Oh, yeah,
we're going to work on that.
Dan, it's definitely in vain, but at least you're being mentioned. We're not mentioning anybody else like, you know, Jack Reardon or Tim McMullen.
Well, that's because their time has passed, so.
I will tell you, I saw Jack Reardon the other day, and I think there's a rumor that he might be running again.
If he runs again, he runs again. I mean, hey, what are you going to do?
Either him or Tony O'Brien, I'm not sure.
Tony O'Brien can run again, too. It's a free
just
time.
It just matters where he's living at the point in time when he runs, right?
It doesn't matter where he's living, but I'm sure he'll do it right this time.
Okay. So you heard one of our guests this evening, Dan Pallotta, who gave us a little bit of a county update. And, of course, you know, he's going to probably weigh in on the Mueller report, as to what's going on with that, because that's what Dan does. We have a Frank and Teresa DiGiacomo there from the South Shore Dermatology and Cosmetic Center. We'll learn a little bit about cool sculpting, and about the procedure called M-Sculpt. We'll learn about that. And then we have Jeffrey Yelenesian. Of course, Jeffrey is another one of our fine sponsors here, besides McGuigan's Pub and Tiny and Sons Glass. As you know, when we do the traffic, you'll make sure you silence that, right?
I'm turning that off.
Okay, just want to make sure. You want to get any alerts as to what's going on with the county?
Talking points. Okay. It's called talking points.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay. So Jeffrey Yelenesian, he'll be here, of course, from Brennan's Smoke Shop. Brennan has a fondness for boxing. And we're going to speak a little bit about Mike the Badman O'Han Jr., who has a bout coming up. We'll talk a little bit about the South Shore Boxing Club located in Whitman. That's coming up. And then the final part of our show, we will speak with WATD's own Ron Dwyer. Ron will be a staple in one of our other radio stations here as part of the WATD conglomerate when WMEX goes online. So we kind of tap into Ron, and I like doing that. I've had the privilege of having different folks on from this radio station, from the Kathy D's to folks who are no longer with us, like Dave Skill, Brian Stratton, Rob Hackle. We've had Rob Hackle on. But we like to have different folks on from the different programs, and so it's Ron's turn. And of course, Ron has never had done any sit-down interviews, so it's going to be really, really interesting.
WMEX is an institution. So.
It was. Let's see if it can be once again. Well, I'm putting my directional on, and we're pulling over into the shoulder here as the time for the WATD traffic report being brought to you on this end by Brennan Smoke Shop, online at BrennanSmokeShopMA.com. With locations in Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, and now Pope's Island, New Bedford. And awaiting me on the shoulder is none other than the traffic goddess herself, Lisa DeMilo. How are things out there?
Well, Kevin, thank you so much for the compliment. The expressway southbound's a real grind from the tunnel past South Bay. From there, you get some speed, but you're right back in it from Granite Ave to the split. Northbound's okay all the way in. You're on the brakes on Route 3 South, down after Route 18. The Bourne Bridge is down to one lane in both directions for road work, so delays continue there, and the Sagamore is good, and Routes 24 and 44 are moving along. This report is sponsored by Unbound.org. A girl in Kenya dreams of becoming a doctor. An elder in Guatemala dreams of being part of a community. Reach out and change their world, and it will change your own. Unbound.org. Traffic on the nines every morning. I'm Lisa DeMilo in the WATD Traffic Center.
Murphy's Boxing presents Mayhem in Melrose. Friday night, March 29th, doors open at 7 p.m. The South Shore Boxing Club's own Mike the Badman O'Han Jr. is going for his ninth professional boxing victory. For tickets and information, go online to murphysboxing.com. It's Mayhem in Melrose, Friday, March 29th, Melrose Memorial Hall. Doors open at 7. Don't be late. Sponsored in part by Brennan Smoke Shop. Brennan Smoke Shop, the best smoke shop in Massachusetts. Customers must be 21 years of age or older, and proper ID is required.
Follow Monday Night Talk on Twitter. Start at 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. And don't forget to add hashtag Monday Night Talk to your tweets. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
Easy to also follow Kevin Tachi on Twitter at Kevin Tachi, TOCCI. It's that easy. And if you do follow me and have something, like Joe says,
I don't have a Twitter account.
I'm sorry.
I am probably the only person on the planet that doesn't have a Twitter account.
Interesting. We'll have to talk about that. And a quick note, I was mentioning sponsors, and we thank all of our great sponsors here at Monday Night Talk. One of the things, we know we've had Richie Rosen in from time to time, as we're looking forward to talking a little bit about his new restaurant, which is adjacent to McGuigan's Pub. The patio at McGuigan's, they're actually going to be holding a job fair this Saturday, March 30th, and Sunday, the 31st, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at McGuigan's Pub. I guess they are hiring for all positions, front and back of the house. Now, if you don't know it, that McGuigan's is located on Washington Street, right in downtown Whitman. So between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m., if you are interested, there will be a job fair for the patio at McGuigan's. You will not be disappointed. Richie and Kathy have put a lot of work into that new restaurant, and I cannot wait.
McGuigan's is a great place.
It is a great place.
It's a great place.
So what's going on with the county? What is the latest? It's almost budget season. I can only anticipate the numbers and shortfalls, or maybe you'll tell us a little bit about...
Last week you had the register on, and you had some people talking real estate. And we get the majority of our revenue from recording fees and from excise taxes, and we're down. This year's budget, to close this year's budget, it's going to be a challenge for the commissioners. We've developed a plan and a backup plan and a backup to the backup plan to make sure that we once again close our budget with a surplus. But, you know, there are some things that, you know, some improvements to some of the courthouses that were put on hold, knowing that, you know, we may need to divert those funds to keep the lights on. And next year is going to be tough, too. We haven't had a down cycle in a while. The county commissioners have produced pretty good surpluses in the past few years. And, you know, 4 years ago, we got a bill through that allowed us to have a savings account. Can you imagine? Plymouth County, established in 1685, was not allowed to save money. We weren't allowed to have a stabilization account in the county. So we put a bill in, got it signed into law. It only took 6 years, but we got it signed. And as soon as we got it signed, we started stocking money away, knowing that this day was coming, so that we don't go through that cycle of nastiness that we went through when we were first elected 7 years ago. And, you know, it's hard to imagine a government entity that can't, you know, provide stability. So we're at that point where we have stability. It'll be interesting to see whether we need to dip into the rainy day fund or not. But the rainy day fund is there for that purpose. And if we have to use it, we'll probably request that we use it, subject, of course, to the approval of the advisory board.
I should ask you, is what role does the county play in the 400th anniversary? Does that affect the county at all?
It kind of does. We don't have a direct role. They want to use our land. They want to have a festival on the county farm. And the county farm is owned by the county commissioners, not by the Commonwealth of Massachusetts Plymouth District Sheriff. It's owned by the county commissioners. So we have been talking to them about being able to use that land. There's a couple of hurdles that need to occur for them to be able to use that land, but we think all of those hurdles will be achieved.
I think it's worth noting that I believe actually next week we will have the Plymouth County Sheriff on. So see, you were not the last county entity that was on.
It's good to see that I was above the sheriff.
Yeah, you were. even though the sheriff is no longer technically a part of the county.
The sheriff's elected by the county residents, but he's a state employee. Right. He gets his check from the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and he's funded by the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. So he's no longer a county employee or a county official.
Well, so is the county going to at least participate in the anniversary?
Oh, there's no question we're going to participate. Don't forget we have the original records. Which we, 4 years ago, foreseeing 2020 coming down the line, we built a beautiful presentation room at the Registry of Deeds
in Plymouth
mm-hmm. for this day. I mean, and obviously to preserve the records. So we, you know, everyone has a deed, and your deed says book, you know, 13,471, page 85. You know, we have book one, page one, like book one, page one, like the first deed. So, you know, America's first registry of deeds will be ready to go. John Buckley, as you noted last week, is an unbelievable historian, a great guy, and the County of Plymouth will have its role with regard to historical standpoint. People forget that, you know, sometimes I think our friends in Plymouth forget that Plymouth spanned from Hingham and Hull all the way down to Newport, Rhode Island, in 1620. It went all the way down and across the Cape and so on and so forth. So it was a quite big area. So there's a lot of history. And I think the 2020 people, are, you know, if you've sat and listened to them, they talk about it being a 10-year celebration, because there's so many towns that were incorporated in the first 10 years, you're going to be seeing 400, 400, 400, 400. And I think they're approaching it the right way.
It's interesting that you mentioned John and his knowledge of history. There was a couple of nuggets that he shared in regards to the Irish and the descendants in Plymouth County. I did try to mention about the Italian, but the Italians.
He didn't want to hear it.
The Irish were here first.
Irish we have the Irish Riviera. Irish Riviera.
Yeah, it's all
you
good.
Know, he needs to come to the cliffs because the Italians are on the cliffs. Okay. Our houses aren't packed together like in the Riviera. Our houses are nice and, you know, so we could grow olive trees.
Where did your family settle when they came to America?
Our family came to the North End originally, then to East Boston, and then to Medford. And we've had a summer home on Piggity Beach, right adjacent to Second Cliff, since 1923.
So interesting.
We've been there a long time.
So my family, when my family, the Tachis, came over, they actually found themselves in Newton and Watertown, but they were known as the Tachis of Nonantum.
Right.
And they would be, there were a number of homes that they actually, Marshfield, right along the beach, Central Ave, Hummer Rock.
Right.
It's very interesting that you say that.
There's a lot more towns on the South Shore than we get credit for, because the Irish claim the name Riviera, so it's stuck.
It's good to note. It's a little segue here, and again, we're speaking with Dan Pallotta, chairman of the Plymouth County Commissioners. You are still chair. Nobody.
Yes.
You weren't forced out or anything.
There has not been a revolution yet, but there could be any moment.
Okay. All right, and when it does happen, our newsroom will report on it.
I'm sure they will.
Does what happens with the federal government affect the county in its affairs? Does it have any effect?
We administer some federal grants as a county. Most grants are written to the county. One of the grants actually came from the Sheriff's Department. The Sheriff's Department had administered a Justice Administration grant for a long time. And when the sheriff became a state agency, the federal government would no longer give the grant, because they weren't a county agency. So we took over that grant. Brockton, Plymouth, and Wareham are the beneficiaries of that grant. So although I think Plymouth did not get a grant this year because they exceeded the wealth, which is a good thing, requirement. But Wareham and Brockton did receive a grant this year. And, you know, we're happy to do any grant for any reason, as long as you know, we can help. You know, if there's a city or town that needs a grant that's federally administered, if it comes from Plymouth County, it carries more weight in the federal eyes than it does if it comes from a city or town.
It's interesting. I'm just getting this in. People are actually listening to you, Dan.
Of course they are.
It's only two people. Don't get carried away.
That's
here.
Okay.
Somebody actually had last week. This gentleman, his name is Paul from West Bridgewater.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul wants to know, in regards to saving the Mayflower Compact. Do you know anything about that?
I don't know anything about the Mayflower Compact, because it's not in our, we don't have possession of it. So I don't even know where it would be. I know what we have, and what we have are court records, deed records, probate records. And the layout, you know, all of the Indian deeds, transactions with the Indians up till 1685, we have the original copies, you know, signed by Bradford, signed by King Philip, signed by, you know, Massasoit, or whoever was the signator at the time. It's pretty neat stuff, and the public can view them.
Definitely good to know. You know, my question in regards to the federal government is a little bit of a segue to talk a little bit about the news over the weekend, the Mueller report and its findings. Give your thoughts on it, because I know you're somebody who loves delving into politics.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I being a Republican in a government institution where there's nothing but Democrats, I can't tell you how many times my colleagues have called me Comrade Pallotta, thinking that there was this giant conspiracy and that Trump was an agent of the KGB and blah, blah, blah. So I sent out an email to all of them asking that they kindly send their apologies. I expect that CNN, them, and everyone else will not do that, which is part of the problem that we have today. You've got this deep back and forth going on, preventing people from actually sitting down and working together. I was in Greenfield this past week, and we had a library that got voted, and the progressives wanted the library, and the conservatives didn't want the library, but the conservatives wanted the zoning change, and the progressives didn't want the zoning change. Both of them got together both of them got together and actually worked it out so that they both got what they wanted. They talked to each other. They were civil to each other. And it was a joy to watch the process. That's not occurring because of the animosity between the two parties.
Okay. You've obviously touched a nerve here. And
I'm sure I have.
And you've done so with folks.
I do every time I come on here.
With folks in the Bridgewater area. I got Amy from Bridgewater wants to know if in fact the county did have the Mayflower Compact,
right,
would you sell it like you did with the courthouse, the 1820 courthouse?
If we had
true or false?
If true or false, of course we wouldn't sell that.
Okay.
We sold the 1820 courthouse because it no longer served a purpose as a courthouse, and the county did not have a need to use it. So it sat there for 6 years doing nothing. And I'd rather see Plymouth have it at a discounted rate, one of our member towns, and they did a wonderful job restoring it, than to have it just sit there and rot away, which is what it was doing.
Okay. Thank you. That was very good. And it was very nice that we have folks who are at least sending questions.
That's
in
fine.
Regards to what's going on. That's people fine. Do care about the county, which I guess is good.
You know, we usually get beat up from below and beat up from above, but the fact of the matter is, you know, for the past 7 years, we've been running it pretty well, and you don't hear much about us because it's running like a clock.
Okay. Good to know. So going back to the federal government in this report, is this the end of all the investigating, or do you feel that the Congress is going to get involved knee deep into it?
The more that the Democrats investigate, the better off the Trump will do in 2020. So, you know, bring it on. They can't help themselves. They don't have the ability to look at rational thought. And all I can tell you is that you're going to see Trump win big in 2020 because, you know, the country doesn't want to be a socialist country, and the Democratic Party doesn't exist anymore. They don't represent the working man anymore. They're representing the freeloader, and they want everything for free. And that is not going to sit well everywhere except New England.
Ben, let's make sure we mark the tape. That will be his part in the opening, one of our new openings. How's that? Make sure you mark the tape for that one.
I don't care.
You want to be in the opening.
35 minutes and some change.
Hey, say it the way it is. If you don't like it, don't vote for me.
Again, Dan, we definitely love having you in. You're going to sit in on the show. Dan,
sure.
Pallotta, chairman of the Plymouth County Commissioners. We got a little bit of a taste of what's going on with the county.
Mm-hmm.
And even striking a little bit of a favor talking government. Anything you want to say in closing, wrapping up our segment here, whether it's on the county level or just on in regards to politics in general?
I think the Democrats and the Republicans need to get in a room and start getting things done for the people. That's why they're down there. Everybody is sick and tired of the investigations. Mm. They're sick and tired of the Russian collusion crap that didn't exist. We all knew it didn't exist. Mm. They arrested, I don't know, and indicted so many people on process things. And there's no question that the Russians meddled with social media. I don't think anybody can deny that. They've been doing that for decades. Whether it's the newspapers or social media, they've been doing it for decades. That hasn't changed. It's not going to change. We do the same to them. So let's stop pretending that, you know, we're high and mighty. Everything, you know, Obama endorsed a candidate in France. Nobody talks about it. He endorsed a candidate in France directly from while he was sitting in office. So let's not pretend.
I gotta get a staunch Democrat in here one of these times. So you, the two of you, we can resurrect. We used to, Monday Night Talk a couple of years ago, notorious for doing the red. It was like the Rock'em Sock'em Robots of talk radio, where we would have, but the thing is,
well, if you give them free food or something that's free, they'll show up.
There he is, Dan Pallotta, Plymouth County Commissioner. But we'll definitely set it up. I actually have a Democrat in mind. We'll make sure we'll get this done in a timely fashion.
I have no problem coming in.
All right,
thanks.
Dan Pallotta is sticking around for the show.
Am?
Yeah.
I'm not going anywhere.
No, but you'll get our bill. We're going to step aside, and when we come back, we have Frank and Teresa DiGiacomo. They are here at the South Shore Dermatology and Cosmetic Center. South Coast Dermatology. See? We just want to get you on mic. We'll be back in just a couple of moments here on 95.9 WATD. You're listening to Monday Night Talk.
weight loss segment brought to you by Signature Healthcare, providing a team approach to weight loss, including medical and surgical options. Here's Dr. Deborah Abeles, chief of Signature Healthcare's Weight and Wellness Center in Brockton.
When it comes to medical or surgical weight loss, patients now have more options than ever before. At our practice, we're always trying to guide patients to the option that makes the most sense for them. So for some, that may mean surgery to help them lose weight, put their diabetes into remission, or reduce the number of medications that they take. However, there are also less invasive options like our 12-week doctor-supervised medical weight loss program. Patients work with our dietitian and lifestyle counselors while receiving ongoing physician consultation to make sure they are losing weight safely and effectively.
To learn more about Dr. Abeles and see if Signature Healthcare's medical and surgical weight loss approaches may be right for you, visit mysignaturecare.org/weightloss.
Yes, it's springtime. Time to awaken. Time to consider our relationship with our planet. The average American drives a distance halfway around the Earth each and every year. If you headed east, you're in Italy, just south of Mount Vesuvius. If you headed west, you're at Midway Islands, just south of the Empire Sea Mountains. The point is, volcanic eruptions above and below sea level are tough on cars. So if you got a broken windshield, Tiny comes to you, replaces your windshield, insurance pays. I'm Peter Brown. Usually, we get to where you are just about right away. Just call 1-888-64-TINYS. And thank you.
Monday Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9WATD.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Okay, we are back in. Pay attention.
I am.
Commercial break's over. Why didn't you ask some questions, too? Because you might need a little cool sculpting or to learn about what it is to be involved with the M Sculpt process.
I am absolutely certain that after you try it, you tell me how it is, we'll talk about it.
It's great. I've done it multiple times.
Have you really?
Absolutely.
Of course, that voice is Frank. Yes, and sir. Of course, say hello, Teresa.
Hi, everybody. Yeah.
And they are the DiGiacomos from the South Coast Dermatology and Cosmetic Center. They had one paper had one thing and another had another, but they're here to talk a little bit about the center. You have multiple locations, right? Braintree, Hingham, Quincy, Weymouth, and where else?
We actually have one location in Weymouth.
Okay. Well, how come it says here this cool sculpting?
I think it's trying
to address the patients who might live in those towns that we are conveniently located for those people to have it nice.
This was at the county. I wouldn't have made that mistake. I would have done it, and it would have been perfect.
That's okay. It is a little misleading, but that was where we would potentially find a convenience for those patients living in those areas. That's okay.
So you're technically located in?
In Weymouth on 90 Libby. Parkway.
Headland Territory.
Where's
the mayor over there to stop on by and say hello?
More than welcome.
Tell us a little bit about the South Coast Dermatology and Cosmetic Center. What are some of the things that you offer, and what are we going to talk about today?
Well, we are, I would say, a full-service dermatology center. We would provide medical dermatology, surgical dermatology, Mohs excisions of skin cancers, pediatric dermatology, injectable cosmetic dermatology, and a full range of services for anything involving hair, skin, nails, and your appearance, I would say.
Wow. How long have you guys been in business? How long have you been?
Well, I was trying to think of that because I knew you were going to ask me. And it's at least 15 years that Dr. DeCosta and myself started the South Coast Dermatology. And then we moved into this office probably 15 years ago. We were together a year before that. And since then, we've added Dr. Heidi Anderson Doctor to be the Mohs surgeon. And Courtney Chikas is our new mostly pediatric dermatologist, but also sees all ages. And then we have nurse practitioners and physician assistants helping us to see the patient load that we have all in one location.
Wow.
And estheticians.
estheticians, yes, to provide chemical peels and laser services, and to actually to perform the Cool Sculpting and M Sculpting services in the office.
What is, Jen wanted me to ask this, what is Cool Sculpting? What is it?
Cool Sculpting is a process where you selectively freeze and kill the fat cells that are living right below the skin surface. So you leave your skin alone, but you freeze and kill the fat right below the skin, permanently removing the fat.
Really?
I'm holding my belly.
So it has,
you ain't
it's
coming
not,
after my belly.
It's not a weight loss program. It's not a weight loss program. It is a
cosmetic
localized cosmetic enhancement, improvement of bulges that you don't desire to have any longer. So,
but when you have Cool Sculpting or Up Sculpting, you find that you feel better, you look better, and you make changes in your life. You eat better, you exercise more because you feel better about yourself. You want to be better. I think that really helps.
It changes the psychology.
Absolutely.
If you feel happy.
Very happy.
If you feel hopeless and you can't get better, you go to the gym and you diet and everybody goes up and down. I think if you can get a little bit ahead, I mean, I haven't tried Cool Sculpting, but I've tried the M Sculpting, and it just gives you such a start where you feel like, well, now I can suddenly bend over and pick up the golf ball out of the hole instead of
What's the difference between M Sculpting and Cool Sculpting?
That's an excellent question. I'm glad you asked.
Well, so M Sculpting.
Because I'm sitting there going, if I don't need to have, you know, I don't need to be looking better, but if the M Sculpting can take the whole belly off at one swoop, I'm kind of liking this.
M Sculpting is primarily directed at building muscle tone while removing or allowing some of the fat to die right below the skin surface. So you actually lose a little bit of fat, but you mostly are toning, strengthening muscle in your core, in your abdomen, on your buttocks, gluteal.
Sounds like I have to exercise.
You're not exercising. You're laying still on a table, and the machine will cause intense muscle contractions.
Really?
For 30 minutes, the equivalent of 20,000 crunches in 30 minutes.
Wow.
So you're really building these abdominal core muscles to be stronger with minimal effort. You're just laying there.
Or 20,000 squats if you want to do buttocks and get a Brazilian butt lift.
So let me ask you, I'm going to go back to the Cool Sculpting because you leapfrogged, but because I was going to wait.
I didn't know there was a...
It's all right. But you got paperwork there. You're not even using it. You get it all stacked up nicely. I prepared this guy so you can be a part of the conversation. So you mentioned, so what are some of the different areas that a Cool Sculpting will focus on? Is there just select areas?
Cool Sculpting, depending on which applicators you're using, can be applied multiple areas of the body. So let's start with under the chin, around the arms, the upper arms, on your sides, let's say the love handles, the back fat, the bra fat,
the
anywhere around the abdomen, let's say the thighs, the inner thighs, the inner knee. We just keep finding more and better places to use Cool Sculpting to freeze away fat.
Okay. What is the recovery like? Let's say I come in, I'm sure there's a consultation
First there's a consultation to say, where would you desire to lose fat? This is how I would approach it. In order for you to have your best result, I would tell you need to do it these areas to look better, feel better in your clothes. And then you have a session where you're freezing areas. And, you know, some of them are 45 minutes, some of them are maybe 30 minutes. It just depends on which applicator, which area. So you're laying still, it gets very cold, and then it becomes numb, maybe after about 5 minutes. It's so cold, it's numb. And truly, for me, the most discomfort was like, when you first take it off, it has to thaw. And there is about 5 minutes where this firm, almost frozen feeling, ice cubey feel, is thawing out and being massaged and kneaded with your hands and till it melts. And then it's sort of red and a little puffy for maybe a day or two, and the fat continues to die, and the size gets smaller and smaller, and your clothes fit more loosely, and really in a couple months you've gotten your result from that treatment.
So does the fat just evaporate?
The fat?
From this process?
It's the cells die, which means they break open, and some of the lipid in the cell is then taken up by your own body's waste clearance system to, like, when you eat butter, it's just being metabolized and taken out the way you normally would do if you ate a piece of steak. So there are, they've tried to measure any differences in your lipids, and they can't find anything with any of that. So,
and I want to apologize. I chuckled for half a second while you were explaining. The reason why I chuckled is because Ben, my producer, as you're talking about this, and we're a couple of robust guys here, and we're interested because maybe it's something we want to do if we once we're, because I'm down 40 pounds right now.
Good for you.
And I think eventually it's something I may want to do. But my producer sitting over eating a candy bar as you're talking about.
Oh,
I'm sorry, guys.
This guy's quite thin.
God bless him.
The way we sort of explain it to me, if you can pinch an area, fold a pinch an area, bulge, then that is an area that can be treated with Cool Sculpting to eliminate the fat below the skin.
What if you have no area that you can't pinch? Because I can pinch just about anywhere.
Well, then you just pick the area you desired the most to have reduction, and then you try to formulate a plan that would make it a nice, consistent change in your body shape.
Out of proportion.
Yeah.
So again, we're speaking with Teresa and Frank DiGiacomo there from the South Coast Dermatology and Cosmetic Center. Ben, my producer, Candy Bar Boy, he actually has a question. Ben?
Candy Bar Boy, that is a new one. Thank you, Kevin. My question for you guys, so with this process, is it recommended for people who would have a looser skin tone, for example, not so much a fat cell problem, so much as a loose skin problem, whether it's medical or otherwise, would that fall under this as well?
Ideally, loose skin is going to be addressed by some other procedures in the office. We have other machines that tighten skin. I would not say that Cool Sculpting tightens skin. I would say your own natural elasticity will respond as you remove the fat, and depending on what that ability is, that's the difference you'll see in the actual skin.
What kind of things can you do?
To tighten loose skin?
Mm-hmm. Drink water, maybe?
All therapy, okay. And Vivace. And those are, depending on where on your body those are, they can be addressed with other modalities.
Okay. Let's say I've had a couple.
You're going to be looking up lipid modality, all these new terms for me.
It's okay, though.
It's just a procedure.
So, all right, let's say I've had a couple of Cool Sculpting sessions. When should I start seeing results? When could I start seeing results?
I think the initial swelling from Cool Sculpting, let's say. The initial swelling is a few days. Within that week, things are fitting a little bit more loosely. You continue to see the reduction in size. It's really how your body processes that dead skin, I'm sorry, the dead fat cells, and how much inflammation may be temporarily there. But a month or two, you would really be ready to say, this is working really well. Maybe slight improvements third and fourth month. But this is the time of year to get it all done, so you're good for bikini season.
Yeah, I definitely want to
look. How do you think I look in a bikini?
I was going to say it.
Awesome.
Can we make it? Is it possible to make the season? We talk in 2020.
Nothing is impossible.
No. But you said you, Frank, have done the M-Sculpt.
I've done M-Sculpt multiple times. But the M-Sculpt is a different thing. It's not a...
Let's talk about that if we can.
Sure. I mean, it's actually meant as more of a muscle tone, muscle building. It's the only thing you can do that builds muscle while reducing fat at the same time. And all you do is lie there under this intense magnet, more powerful than an MRI magnet. It causes intense, super maximal, more than maximum contractions of the muscles, whether it's your abdomen, your buttocks. It's just recently been approved for inner thighs. And it's a wonderful feeling. I can't describe it. Most people describe euphoria after like a runner's high. 25% of patients giggle uncontrollably. It's not at all painful. There's no downtime. There's no swelling. There's no pain. And I mean, I walked out of my first session feeling like my back hadn't been straight my whole life.
And it improves your golf handicap, doesn't it, Frank?
Because you can swing and rotate better. If you have better abdominal tone and better core tone, sure. You just can do everything better. And so now I ride more, bike more, I exercise more. I feel like I can do more.
Teresa, who would be a good candidate for M-Sculpt? Who would be a good candidate?
I think anyone who desires to have a better physique, especially around the torso or the gluteal area, the buttocks, If you felt like you were having a saggy buttocks, then we'd say this would give you a lift.
No surgery. 20,000 squats on the butt.
The amazing thing is you're not sore the next day.
Right, and you won't end up on that TV show Botched because you've got an issue with
there's
with
no
with
invasion.
Your bottom.
There's nothing invasive.
We're on The Biggest Loser, brother. We're not going to Botched.
But it's just two treatments, twice a week, four treatments, and then you get improvement, you know, up to 2 months, 4 months, 6 months later. It's incredible. And so once you have that change, you know, some people come back for touch-ups after or come back for no treatment, depending on how far they feel like they went the first time. But I just feel like it's such a unique... When she asks me about all the cosmetic procedures in the office, I'm usually reluctant because I'm not a big believer in just the aesthetic part of it. But this isn't just aesthetic. UmSculpt actually makes you feel better. It's more of a quality of life issue, not just how good you feel about, you know, how you look, how you feel about how you feel. I mean, you feel better. I think that's the amazing thing.
Because so you feel you better as well as look better.
Absolutely. And with no work.
People who have a metal implant should not have this procedure over that implant because it's just like MRI signals. So if you said who should try this, and someone with no, you know, hip replacement, metal, something like that might be a contraindication. But other than that, I would say anybody could try it.
Something definitely, and is usually again. This there's a consultation that comes with this. They'll sit down with someone on the staff, and there'll be basically a plan that's devised as to what best works for them.
I would say that's true. Yeah.
What's some of the things? I mean, is there? Let's say I still get about 20 pounds to go. I want to wear it. Where it's a dieting thing, and I went. Go 20? Easy over there. Dan,
20?
I could just snap my fingers and you turn your mic down. I lose another 20 pounds and I want to come in. What would be the standard in regards to how many treatments I would come in and do? And would they be spaced out over a series of days, maybe weeks?
I think it is a complementary procedure to put them together. Okay. That I would say, ideally, you get to the weight you desire. We assess your body shape where there are still residual bulges of fat that we're going to go in and freeze with Cool Sculpting. And then as you see that improvement in your size and shape, you're going to be assessing your own muscle tone. And we're going to say, well, you know, maybe you would be someone who would benefit from bigger, stronger muscles in your rectus abdominis, your six-pack. Right, to get that to be comfortably strong.
Tighter, right.
Yeah, and then as you're doing that, you may decide that, you know, lower in the abdomen is an area you're going to go, or your thighs with your hips involved.
Well, and that's what's interesting is that, Dan, I know you have one last question you want to ask.
I want to ask it because I got a text that came
in. Sure, okay. So. Just wait 1 second.
Okay.
You can still read it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, hold up. So I've myself, throughout the past, I would say 20 years, I've been up and down like an elevator when it comes to my weight. But I've gotten to that point in my life where I'll lose it. But then there's those tough pounds I can't. And then it sounds like this would be perfect for me to have a consultation, see if this is ideal for me to kind of be able to shed that excess, those excess pounds that are covering up my beautiful six-pack.
So I have Joe from Waltham texted, said...
Reached Waltham.
Reached Waltham, probably online. One, is it covered by insurance? Two, is it expensive? You know, what does it cost, roughly? And how long does it take to go off the body?
So, is it covered by insurance? Not yet.
Not yet, okay.
I don't know. Maybe in the future there will be certain indications. I can't predict insurance.
Right.
I can tell
no
you.
One can.
Now, now it's not covered.
Right.
Is it expensive? That depends, you know, what kind of budget you have. But, you know, compared to other things that you might do or spend money on, I think this is, again, a lifestyle, life quality thing that company has sort of researched, you know, what will people be willing to pay to do these things? And I feel like, you know, we're competitively priced. And Cool Sculpting, it's going to be based on how many areas you're going to try to freeze.
Okay.
Right. And the M Sculpting is pretty much a package, a fixed price on 4 treatments. And there are certain discounts available, like certain like promotions happening. And if you want to get that done and signed in, you're going to get a significant discount.
Oh, if you mentioned you heard the ad on ATW.
Well, that was one of the things. that we wanted to offer people who are listening tonight to be able to come and say, I heard the show, I've heard the ad, and I would be interested in the discount.
Well, this person had lost 46 pounds metabolic dieting since October.
Perfect, yeah. So. And what was the last question about, is it, will it last or is it permanent?
How long before it's off the body? So
what
if you
is
have a
off
treatment,
the body? The fat is gone?
The fat is gone.
I think the fat is dying within 24 hours.
Okay.
But how long does it take to sort of get reduction of the swelling that temporarily is there? You know, a week or so, 2 weeks. I wouldn't do this and then say, tomorrow I'm going to go to the beach and look skinny. It's going to be...
No two-piece for you, Dan.
You know, it's going to be a two-week, get the swelling down, maybe the month, and then you're going to start to really feel better in your clothes, and you'll notice the difference.
And that's what the Cool Sculpt, the M-Sculpt, you don't have any swelling.
Right. To be clear, yeah.
And if folks want to find out more in regards to what the South Coast Dermatology and Cosmetic Center has to offer, located in Weymouth, mm-hmm. website and phone number, and maybe there are certain things that they can look for as far as whether it's things that are offered.
So the telephone number is 781-335-9700. The website, which is brand new this past week, is sc-dermatology.com. So the new updated and improved website is very, very nice.
And what will be also interesting is not only if they're listening tonight, but once the podcast is up in the next day or two.
Oh, absolutely.
That'll be an extra. I want to thank both Frank and Teresa
for educating me.
Thanks for having
Anytime.
Us.
Anytime. You know? Happy to be here.
I love
very
to
Very nice. Thank you.
Now, here's
usually
what
when I come here, I get beat up. But today I learned something.
That's cool.
The night's not over. So. But I would like to have you back because there are other areas. I mean, myself, I deal with eczema. Actually have a friend of mine, someone who I work with, actually put a shirt on today. It was a brand new shirt, and they ended up breaking out in the hives. So
that
maybe
happens.
We could talk about that.
Sure, we'll do some medical derm, cosmetic derm, any
awesome.
Of it.
Awesome.
Perfect.
So I thank you very much for coming in.
Our
thank
pleasure.
You.
Thanks for having
thank
us.
Thank you.
And that's going to close out the first hour of Monday Night Talk. When we come back, hour number two here at 95.9 WATD. You're listening to Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
WATD FM Marshfield, WBMS Brockton, and translator W247 CB Brockton.
The South Shore's breaking news, weather, and traffic station.
95.9 WATD FM Marshfield and 95.9 WATD.com.
Murphy's Boxing presents Mayhem in Melrose. Friday night, March 29th, doors open at 7 p.m. The South Shore Boxing Club's own Mike the Badman O'Han Jr. is going for his ninth professional boxing victory. For tickets and information, go online to murphysboxing.com. It's Mayhem in Melrose, Friday, March 29th, Melrose Memorial Hall. Doors open at 7. Don't be late. Sponsored in part by Brennan's Smoke Shop. Brennan's Smoke Shop, the best smoke shop in Massachusetts. Customers must be 21 years of age or older, and proper ID is required.
This weight loss segment brought to you by Signature Healthcare, providing a team approach to weight loss, including medical and surgical options. Here's Dr. Deborah Abeles, chief of Signature Healthcare's Weight and Wellness Center in Brockton.
When it comes to medical or surgical weight loss, patients now have more options than ever before. At our practice, we're always trying to guide patients to the option that makes the most sense for them. So for some, that may mean surgery to help them lose weight, put their diabetes into remission, or reduce the number of medications that they take. However, there are also less invasive options like our 12-week doctor-supervised medical weight loss program. Patients work with our dietitian and lifestyle counselors while receiving ongoing physician consultation to make sure they are losing weight safely and effectively.
To learn more about Dr. Abeles and see if Signature Healthcare's medical and surgical weight loss approaches may be right for you, visit mysignaturecare.org/weightloss.
Be a part of the show. Call and join in on the conversation. 781-837-4900. Now, back to Monday Night Talk.
All right. Hour number two. Later this hour, of course, we'll have WETD's Ron Dwyer speak with Ron, get his background and his a little more than five decades in radio and his work and stuff like LVI. he'll be our guest. But right now, we got coming up in just a moment, once after I read this little promo, we have Jeffrey Yalnizian, who's here.
Hi.
Hi, buddy.
Again.
How are you?
Good. Looks good.
Quick note again, we love our sponsors, love giving our sponsors time to kind of sit in. Jeffrey, who we're going to have Jeffrey back in a couple of weeks because he's working on some legislation with former Sheriff Guy Glotis. It's in the works. We'll have them back in. Talk a little bit about South Shore Boxing Gym, right? What's it called?
South Shore Boxing Club.
Boxing Club. Sorry. Apologize. Talk a little bit about the bad man himself. He's here in the room. But first, just a quick note. McGuigan's Pub, also located in Whitman, I might add. They're going to be holding a job fair this Saturday and Sunday, the 30th and 31st, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. A valued sponsor is. They're looking to get folks to be hired for positions in the front and the back of the house for the new restaurant, the patio, at McGuigan's. Again, if you're interested, you're somebody who's looking to, who is in the restaurant industry, looking for maybe a change of scenery, trust me. Nothing like working for Richard and Kathy Rosen and their fine good establishments. People. Absolutely. So, big fight coming up, huh? Tell us a little bit about it.
So, a little known fact that formerly, before I was Jeff from Brennan's Smoke Shop, I was Jeff from South Shore Boxing Club.
Really? Why is that?
Well, because I used to box for a long time. I spent, a lot of time boxing from, say, 13, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, all the way till...
Did you fight amateur, or did you... You're just somebody who was kind of just like a hobby.
No, no. When I was 13, I was beating up the big guys.
Yep.
You know, I was 135 pounds and sparring with 168, 175 pounders. At 13 years old, beating them up.
Really?
Absolutely. Yes.
Pull that right to you.
That's a fact.
Give me your name again.
Joshua Phippen.
Josh.
Phippen's well-known name in Pembroke area, on the South Shore.
Well, Josh was here last time.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
But just we haven't had you on enough, and
people would remember.
Don't call him sir. It's going to go right to his head.
Yeah, you know.
You're still here?
People would remember his father and his uncles, the Phippen clan. Cliff, Alan, Michael, Danny.
Mark.
There was a Phippen that was a selectman in Scituate. Any relation?
Not that I know of.
Interesting. Anyway, so...
Talk a little bit about the boxing club.
So South Shore Boxing Club has been going, it's got to be over 25 years.
Yeah, 76. It was started.
Established in 76 by...
Rick DePina.
Rick DePina, and then he handed it over to Cliff.
In about 86.
Yeah. When I started boxing, it was Pearson's Gym on South Ave in Whitman. Moved up into Whitman Center and then moved to where it is still today, which is the old Regal Shoe Factory in the back.
356 South Ave, Whitman, Mass.
So those guys are training fighters. They make fighters. And it's funny. It's interesting for me because it's always like this generational thing. Guys come, and usually there's a group of guys, and they stay together like... When I was a kid, it was all the upperclassmen. I boxed with, I was in middle school, but I was boxing with all the seniors. And it was like Dave Hamilton and Damini Phippen and Chris Carey.
Pat Bonner,
Rob Klaus. We had this whole group.
But that's how you get better, though. If you're the little guy who's fighting all the middleweights and super middleweights, I mean, you're only going to get better.
Not only that.
Unless they catch you.
But you got to have a group. The only way we get better is if we have somebody to spar with and compete with.
Sure. And you got to teach them. You bring them up right. You don't just throw them in there to get, their head bashed in.
No, no.
You know, there's a science to training these.
That's what was happening when I was in the kids' classes. I was bashing heads in, and they're like, you stop on the weekends. You need to start coming up during the weekend.
Well, you're talking to a guy who actually, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, kind of grew up in our area when he came up from New Jersey, south side of Brockton, before he got involved with the Petronellis and became a world champion.
Now, Mike,
and he lived in Hanover.
Mike Ohan Jr.'s father was one of Marvin's main sparring partners, right. Mike Ohan Sr., right. Who had a prominent boxing career as well.
I used to spar with his father when I was a little guy. Really? He's a little bit older than me. Yeah, he was probably about 175. I think he was cruiserweight for a while, 190.
Yeah.
And I was like 165 sparring with his dad.
Yeah. Strictly boxing. There's no crossover. You do any crossover at all? MMA crossover?
Not really. I mean, I'll work with MMA guys and, you know, help them get their hands better, you know, for MMA fights, sure. Whatever they need. You know, I adapt the style to help them out.
The MMA guys you'll see are using a lot more boxing because boxing or two-fisted fighting is very effective in any ring and on the street.
But I have to ask you, Josh, and I may have asked you last time you were here, so if I'm ignorant and asking the question again, do you feel that there's kind of a people who are purists for the sport, purists, whether it's MMA or purists for boxing, are like, boxing is better than... what's your philosophy in regards to... Do you feel that boxing is onto itself as is MMA, or do you feel that there's more of an advantage if you
So what is MMA? Listeners need to know what MMA is.
Mixed martial arts.
There you go. So you haven't said it. I'm sitting there going, what is MMA? Municipal Association.
For the older guys in the room who don't know what it is. Mixed martial arts. It has nothing to do with the municipalities.
Okay.
The way I see it is they're both arts in themselves. You know, and I couldn't knock one or the other. You know, I mean, I'm a boxing guy. I come from a boxing background. But for anybody to ever step into a ring, an octagon, or even in a gym, a boxing gym or a fighting gym, I tip my hat to you. There's nothing like going through the motions of a combat sport.
Pure combat.
Yeah. There's nothing better.
For me, Kevin, can I just say real quick, the MMA matches are turning into more like bare-knuckle boxing matches. You get two guys that like to throw their fists. It's basically boxing before the rules. And incidentally, they call it a ring, even though it's a square with ropes. But they call it a ring because back in the day, when you had beef, guys would go out to the parking lot and they would form a ring around the guys. And every time there was a knockout, every time there was a knockdown, a guy went down, that was the end of a round. So back in the day, fights used to go 20, 30 rounds because after somebody was hurt, they would stop for a minute.
Sure.
Now there's different rules.
And I ask, and I only ask that because I know that there are other local other gyms like the Capiellos. I know Mikey Capiello's.
Great guy.
Been working with MMA fighters, and I know Richie is a promoter himself, so I thought it might have been the same for the South Shore Boxing Club as well. It'd be kind of if you would work with...
Oh, yeah, I work with anybody. I mean, I run a women's class on Tuesdays, 6 to 7 o'clock.
Self-defense?
Just more of a cardio boxing, but they learn to protect themselves.
That's pretty cool, though, at least. Yeah. There's more than just the boxes, grooming boxes, or even teaching kids for self-defense.
Yeah,
you do that as well, right?
Yes, I do. I have a kids class on Tuesdays and Thursdays, 5 to 6. Starting age around 4 to 5, you know, roughly, depending on their attention. But that seems to grow and go really well.
Now, growing up in the 60s and 70s, obviously, boxing appeared to be a lot more prevalent than it is today.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem to be as...
I blame Mike Tyson personally in the pay-per-views.
Don King, not Mike Tyson. You can't blame a fighter. He was only doing his job.
I loved Mike Tyson.
You think it'll come back to prominence? No, I grew up with my father telling me, you know...
Friday night at the fights.
Yep.
At Boston Garden, take the train in. Watch the fights.
Most of these people
religiously
don't even realize, Dan, that the Boston Garden and Madison Square Garden were built for boxing.
Fighting. Right. Absolutely.
And did you ever realize that Jeffrey Yalnizian was the first boxer at this new garden, the first fight at the Boston Garden?
Won the first fight at the time, the Fleet Center in 95. Yeah.
Little history.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, knocked that kid out. You knocked him out?
We're talking about the bad man, Mike O'Han Jr. He's got a big fight coming up. We got a couple of minutes. Why don't we promote Mike's fight?
The bad man's going for his ninth win on Friday night in Melrose. Melrose Mayhem.
Murphy's Boxing.
Yep. Signed with Murphy's Boxing, and Murphy's Boxing is Ken Casey, Murphy's.
Wait, did we see something in the news where actually Ken actually had to jump into a scrum during a concert?
Yeah,
it was a couple of days ago.
Yeah, I've seen something on that. I don't know if that was old or new.
I think it was new. God luck. Ken's a great local guy. Great local guy.
So, Mike, bad man, O'Han.
Yep.
Are you the big welterweight that Josh says you are?
I'm a tall welterweight. I'm about 5'11". So
wow.
I'm still growing. You know, I have into welterweight, so
It happens as you get older. I grew too.
So who are some of the boxes that you've idolized, or some of the ones that you've followed, whether they're current or you know what, back in the day?
Hagler, everyone, of course. Hagler, yeah. He's a local legend, and everyone, Aguello,
Sanchez,
Salvador Sanchez. Who else?
See, he's looking at welterweights.
I like
I was in middleweight, so
Tito Trinidad, De La Hoya, although I watch them all because I like to take their styles and use them as my own.
Now, do you guys watch like Olympic boxing, or is that not good enough because it's only three rounds?
No, we watch.
I think Olympic boxing's awesome because they just go all out for three rounds.
Well, tonight actually, there's a young boxer that you guys would know about from Weymouth, Mass. Francis Hogan. He's fighting in the Olympic qualifiers out in Reno tonight.
Yeah, you can watch that.
That'll be on YouTube.
On pay-per-view or on YouTube.
Yeah, USA
awesome,
Boxing.
Huh?
Yeah.
Cool.
Number one kid in the country. He trains at our gym in Big Six in Rhode Island.
I remember that kid. How old is he now?
He's 19.
I remember him when he was a little kid.
He's an animal. Yeah.
But isn't that cool?
It's cool stuff. Yeah, you get to see
he's sparring with Mikey in his training camp.
He has a chance of winning a gold medal.
Absolutely.
And there's no reason why he can't win. I mean, it's the land of the free and opportunity, man.
You know, we're in the greatest country ever.
Absolutely.
You know? So, but to see a young kid like that as well, like Mike was in the top of the amateurs in his amateur career.
Nationals a bunch of times.
You know, three times made it to the Nationals. Yeah. So
8-0 is a professional right now.
Right now.
Talk to us about your opponent. I mean, what is some of the things, without tipping your hand too much here?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you go? What's your mindset as you're going into this fight?
Well, I'm not taking him lightly. Obviously, he's a veteran of what does he have?
50 fights.
Yeah, something like that.
Wow.
And I'm ready to go. You know, I'm ready for anyone. So he's the next one in the way. So we take him out Friday night.
Next notch in the bedpost.
Now, what if somebody wants tickets? What if somebody wants to go to this, Jeffrey?
Murphysboxing.com.
And we got some at the gym as well. We got very few left. So
now, is this where the gym has to like sell the tickets? Is it like that these days when it comes to local fights, that the gyms and the fighters, they get tickets? Almost like MMA, where if they're going to be fighting,
absolutely,
they're on a card, they got to kind of rep their card.
It's a grind. It's a hustle. It's there's no easy day in the sport of boxing coming up as a young boxer. It's a grind from the gym. He's a painter, works with Jayco Painting.
Yeah, he's not out of work. You know what I mean? It's not his job.
Always right.
Yeah. He's got about maybe 20 more fights to go before that happens. Yeah.
So I would any other who else is on the card? Are there other fights that you, I mean? Where are you on the card? Are you the headliner or co-headliner?
Greg Vendetti's the headliner, and then Ryan Kelzeski, and then I'm the next one in line. So we're all three of us are on the card. Yeah, I was just actually sparring.
There's
with
a lot
Ryan
of good fighters, and we'd go back to the generational thing that are coming around now. There are a lot of good local fighters. Mark DeLuca.
Great kid. Ex-Marine.
Yep.
Kid's awesome.
Big win he just got.
But listen, can I just say this?
Please. You got a couple more minutes here.
All right. If...
just don't be pushing the female and male enhancements like you do on the commercial. Because Mike can't get any love until Saturday.
Dan.
You heard the commercial, Kev. Those are quality tested.
Tried them yet? I'm just kidding. So listen... growing up, I was learning disabled, and I took some bumps and bruises through my school career, and I was very angry, and if it weren't for South Shore Boxing Club, I wouldn't be sitting here today. I have applied boxing and its values to every aspect of my life since I started. The thing about boxing, it's a really great workout. You can break your back like a 10-hour workday, but it's fun. And you enjoy it. So if you have a kid that's getting pushed around in school, bring him to the gym, and we'll show him how we anti-bully.
It's interesting that there is a push to try to stop bullying, but it still happens.
Absolutely.
How you stop bullies?
You stand up to them.
Fight back.
There's no kids listening.
You punch him in the mouth
and send him on his way.
Punch first,
and whether or not you lose... at least you stood up for yourself, and that's the most important thing. Yeah, that's fine.
So if folks want to find out more about the South Shore Boxing Club, Josh, how can they do that?
We're on Facebook at South Shore Boxing. The website's kind of got a little bit crazy. I got to redo that. But you can
get on that, Josh.
Go to the gym. It's behind the old Regal Shoe Factory. It's out in the back.
356 South Ave, Women Mass.
Which is technically Route 27.
Yep.
You see the white staircase in the back of the dirt parking lot.
We're open Monday through Friday, 5 to 8. Saturdays, 11 to 2.
5 a.m.?
5 p.m. to 8.
Okay.
And, you know, you can call 508-577-2358.
Mike, anything you want to say in closing? Mike, the bad man over here, Junior.
Gotta thank anybody,
big
Mike?
Fight.
I don't know.
Thank Murphy's boxing.
Yeah, kind of boxing. I'm ready to go. I'm in the fight mode. I'm already, you know.
Yo, Brennan's Smoke Shop's always there to help us.
I really wouldn't be the man that I see. I've applied this to the tobacco business because it's a fight. The business that I'm in, it's a fight.
Absolutely.
I apply it to, and that's why I'm so tenacious and I really exercise my right of free speech.
Him too.
Oh, I believe it. And I've seen some of the stuff on social media posts after he's had a good go around whether he's sparring with somebody.
The last time I did that, the kid wore a plush set of gloves and broke my ribs. So I haven't sparred in over a year. He broke my ribs.
Yeah,
broke.
Then he took
little
it.
18,
then
he little 18-year-old kid.
Then he took it out on the next guy.
Yeah.
You know, that hasn't been in the gym for, you know, a couple months.
Jeff. Yeah. What size gloves were you wearing when you
had 16s? I had 16s. This kid supposedly had 16s, but they were very plush. So when you squeeze them, he buried it right in my rib. Broke my ribs. That's the only second time in my career.
Chicken wrap?
I've never been down, Kevin. Just want to. Okay. Never been down.
Well, Jeffrey, I want to thank Jeffrey and Mike. Mike, we wish you the best of luck until next time we see you.
Friday night.
Hopefully, next time you're here, you're 9-0. We'll go for 10. Josh,
good
love having you in and promoting.
Wish you the best.
Appreciate it.
We are going to step aside, and when we come back, the final segment of Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome opening day, Pembroke Titans softball.
Okay, Addie, you got this. Just relax.
I know, Dad.
First batter coming to the plate.
I know, Hattie, but just keep your eye on the ball. Just keep your eye on the ball.
Dad, relax. I do got this.
I know, Hattie. Remember, don't swing at the first pitch.
Daddy!
And here's the pitch. That is a fair... In fact, that's a home run!
Sorry about your windshield, Dad.
Are you kidding me? That was awesome. I'm keeping the inspection sticker for a souvenir.
Windshield broken by a home run? Call Tiny first. 1-888-64-TINYS.
That's my Hattie.
Murphy's Boxing presents Mayhem in Melrose. Friday night, March 29th, doors open at 7 p.m. The South Shore Boxing Club's own Mike the Badman O'Han Jr. is going for his 9th professional boxing victory. For tickets and information, go online to murphysboxing.com. It's Mayhem in Melrose, Friday, March 29th, Melrose Memorial Hall. Doors open at 7, don't be late. Sponsored in part by Brennan's Smoke Shop. Brennan's Smoke Shop, the best smoke shop in Massachusetts. Customers must be 21 years of age or older and proper ID is required.
Monday Night Talk on Twitter. Start at 959WATD.com/Monday Night Talk. And don't forget to add hashtag Monday Night Talk to your tweets. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome back to the final segment of Monday Night Talk. I finally say this every show because it's true. Don't laugh. Stop. You're not supposed to laugh yet.
I'm just anticipating what you're going to come out with.
Well, no, I equate the show to like when you go to a restaurant. Uh-huh. And the first smaller segments of our program, because it's an hour 45 minutes, the first two are like they're kind of like appetizers. You know, maybe you get a soup and some stuffed mushrooms.
Yes, this is the show to eat by.
No, hold on. Stop. So 7 to 7:30. That's when the entree is served. Oh, and you, my fine feathered friend, get to be the dessert portion of the program.
Would you like to see the wine list, sir?
Now, that fantastic voice is a gentleman that you hear here on the weekends on Saturday and Sunday, Oldies with Ron Dwyer. But Mr. Dwyer is somebody who has been in Boston radio, would you say 50, 55 years? How many years would you say? Five decades?
Less than 55, more than 50.
Okay, so we're in the ballpark.
Yes, you are.
And Ron has been a good friend for many, many years, and we've shared many a laugh.
Well, I know you're a good friend because you force yourself to laugh at my jokes.
Was that a joke? Should I laugh now?
You can laugh now.
But Ron is one of these gentlemen. You may listen to the radio from time to time, and, you know, it's not the way it once was when at least you get background on the people who are performing the music, how it was put together.
Right.
This is a gentleman who gives you deep background to something that may have been a B side, or you know, it was a B side that you know what was actually became more popular than the A side. He has that kind of institutional knowledge, and he's again a gentleman who I listen to on Kiss 108. I also, you know, from time to time, those who are old enough to remember, he even made a crossover. Time to time, you would hear him on WLVI Channel 56, where he would do certain cut-ins and do voice certain things.
I would do the promos. I would do public service stuff. I would do the IDs.
And of course, he is going to be very instrumental once we get 1510 WMEX up and running. He is going to be one of the regular guys, one of the regular air personalities that you're going to hear on our little conglomerate, so to speak.
Yep. It's true.
So I'm looking forward to it. And the idea of having Ron in is, you know, my understanding is that they haven't cracked the code of Ron Dwyer. They haven't, you know.
Cracked the code?
Well, they haven't done like an autobiography. They haven't sat down and done kind of a biography on you. And
you know, I've never done a show like this before. I've never done an interview program.
So I feel privileged.
You are the first.
And you get to be on the dessert portion of Monday Night Talk.
Absolutely.
So I have to ask you right out of the box. You know, what came first, actually? It's almost like the chicken or the egg. Your love for radio or your love for music?
Probably my love definitely the music. Because I started listening to music when I was about 3. And I think back and I said, how do you remember that? I don't know. It's good memory. Because my favorite song from 1950 was Music, Music, Music by Teresa Brewer.
Mm.
And then I liked all those mid-50s things. Before the rock and roll thing really started, I was listening to the old standards. I was listening to Perry Como and Frankie Lane and Peggy Lee and all of these people before the R&B stuff started to take over in the mid-50s. So I had a background in that kind of music first. And I liked that music. When I was a kid, they bought me a little record player. It was one of these little plastic jobs, you know, have little steel needles in the tone arm. And they bought me kids' little records, little 78s. They were pink and orange and yellow, and they were made for kids. And I used to sit there and play these records over and over again out of a little speaker in this little plastic record player. So that's how I started with that.
When did you know you wanted to be a broadcaster? When did you know you wanted to be on the radio?
I was in high school. A friend of mine who was a couple of grades ahead of me in school wanted to go into broadcasting. And all I wanted to do, I'd go over at his house on a weekend. And I'd have a bat, ball, a glove. I said, let's go out and knock a few down at the field, you know. And he'd be sitting there in his living room with his tape recorder. Hmm. And he'd be watching a Red Sox game broadcast by Kurt Gowdy. He was doing play-by-play. And he'd have the sound turned down. And he would broadcast the game by what he saw on the screen. And I would stand there and just shake my head and I say, what a waste of time. Because I told him one day, I said, you sound like a poor imitation of Arthur Godfrey.
You know, here we are and it's Frank Malzone coming to bed.
I said, you don't know how bad you sound. I said, put that stuff away. Let's go play ball. All right. And he was serious about going to broadcasting school. And at the time, there was a school out there called the Cambridge School of Broadcasting, which had morphed eventually into Cambridge College. But they were originally a broadcast training facility in Boston. And they had an open house, okay? And he wanted to attend this because one of his favorite air personalities, Bruce Bradley, was going to make an appearance. Bruce, who did evenings at BZ, and that was his hero, right? So we attend this open house, and we're sitting in the front row, and the people who own the school are giving their pitch, blah, blah, blah. And here we have the turntables, and here's the board, just like in a real radio station. And I'm looking out the window. I'm sitting on the end, and I'm saying, it's a really cold day. It was St. Patrick's Day, as a matter of fact, 1961, St. Patrick's Day. And I'm looking out the window. It started to snow. And I'm just looking at the snowflakes coming down, not paying attention to anything this guy is saying. And then he says, anyway, here he is, bring in Bruce. And Bruce walks in. And I look at my buddy. He's almost salivating. There is his God, right? And Bruce is doing a pitch for the school. Of course, he's paid to do it. Mm. And he's telling little stories about things going on at BZ. And he says, I wonder if I can still do. And he cues up a 45 RPM record. He says, well, I did that in less than 10 seconds. Haven't lost the touch. And I went, yeah, okay, fine. And then it was time for the tour. They put us on a bus and took us over to the HDH studios. And we toured the television facilities over there. And after that, we went back in the bus. We went over to Soldiers Field Road to BZ to see the radio facilities. And it was very impressive, right? We walk in, and there is a guard. They have a guard standing in front of the door to Studio A, where the broadcast was going on. And we all crammed in there, and we're looking through the window, as I am to you right now. And who was sitting there doing the show? Jay Dunn. Mm. He did a midday at BZ. And he looked like the typical jock of the era. There was a certain way they dressed. You had to wear a dress, white shirt, nothing fancy, right? Loose tie around the neck, and you had to roll your sleeves up halfway up your arm because you didn't want to get any dust or dirt on your sleeves. So I said, look at that. There he is. And Jay Dunn is saying, oh, we have some visitors today from the Cambridge School, blah, 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 blah. And I'm watching this guy, and I said to myself, this guy's having a ball. Here he is. He's king of the hill.
Right.
He's in charge. And I said, and they pay him to do this.
Was he one of the guys, though, that you, there had to have been somebody that that you listened to, you're like, oh, my goodness, I want to emulate. Or, you know what, if I became a DJ or a radio personality, I'd want to at least emulate some of what this individual does.
That never happened.
Okay.
I never thought of anybody like that.
Okay.
There were people you'd see on TV like George Fenneman with Groucho Marx. People say, I want to be like him. And I said, no, you don't. Because he's a sloppy speaker. He goes, would you come in, please? What? He doesn't say, would you come in, please, and meet Groucho? I said, I wouldn't want to emulate that.
You know what's funny is, and folks don't realize this, but you have a tremendous ear when it comes to music. And my understanding is that from an early age, you knew hits when you would hear them, so much so that you actually had a local record store owner who recognized it. And tell the story, if you will.
Yeah, there was one central location in the city where if you wanted to get your records and you wanted to get them fast, this guy had them immediately. So that's where everybody went to buy their 45s or albums or whatever. And the first time I went in there, I had the typical rock and roll grease haircut. I had zits, And I'd walk in, I'd say, do you have such and such? And he'd go, what? I said, such and such. And I said, oh, you'll be hearing about it. You'll be ordering this tune. And I said, when it comes in, you better get about 200 extra copies because it's going to sell like crazy. And I said, you see this one over here on your playlist? I said, forget that. It won't sell. And he looked at me like, this kid's crazy. Well, after a couple of months, he found out I was right. So he used to wait for me to come in to compile his order list from his distributor.
You're kidding?
No.
I hope you get a residual out of this.
I had nothing. Not a thing.
Nothing to show for it.
Nothing to show for it.
Other than your good looks.
But to get back something earlier, so I'm watching Jay Dunn, right? And it just hit me. I said, that's what I could do. That's what I want to do. I said, the guy's not working on a chain gang breaking rocks. He's not busting his hump doing this, that, or the other thing. He's sitting there having a good time, and he does what I love to do, listen to music. And I said, that's for me. So from that moment onward, I decided, I'm going to learn to do that. So what I did was, I went out and I bought a tape recorder, and my friend, who wanted to be in the business, he had this huge attic in his home. And we'd go up in his attic, and we would practice doing radio shows. And we'd put the tape on, we'd start the thing, and we didn't have the money to buy the top hits. So he sent away to buy these cheap imitation copies of all the current pop hits. You know, you don't know who these people were. They just did copies. And that was our library. And I would use my tape recorder, and I would tape sound bites off legitimate newscasts on the air. So the first 5 minutes of the one-hour broadcast was devoted to doing a newscast. So he would sit there, he would read the news out of the newspaper. All right, we didn't have real copy. So he'd read out of the newspaper, and I'd have the drop-ins, the sound bites, and I would drop them in off my tape recorder. So it sounded like a legitimate newscast.
It flowed.
And then we would flip-flop. You know, he would play records, and I would spin the records, and then we'd change places. I would do the news, and then he would spin the records. And we did this for months at a time. This went on. Oh, all winter long, we're practicing doing an imitation radio show. So that's how I first got introduced to the technical aspect of radio. And when he graduated high school, he attended a broadcast school in Boston, and it's no longer in existence, hasn't been since the 60s, Leland Powers. The school was world famous for radio, television, and theater arts. And they had specialized people who taught aspects of radio. This guy would teach television, and this guy would be a director. And you do radio plays, or you would do live shows. You would do Shakespeare. Every 3 weeks or so, you'd rotate, and you'd have a new assignment, and you're on stage performing as an actor. And that was the aspect of that school. Well, he graduated, and because I was 2 years behind him, I was going in as a freshman. It was a freshman-senior deal. So I went in there as a freshman. And my first day in the studio with a piece of copy, I read the copy, and I walked back in the room because they critique what you do. And he said to me, "You've done air work, haven't you?" I said, "No." He says, "Come on." I was so far ahead.
So polished.
I was polished because I had worked at it. I had worked on developing good speech skills, the whole thing, so I'd be ready when I get out in the world to do it. I wouldn't have to learn anything. It would be there. So that's how that came about.
Well, what's also, and we were speaking with a legendary broadcaster, Ron Dwyer, who you can hear Saturdays and Sunday afternoons, and soon you'll be able to hear him exclusively on 1510 WMEX.
Color Radio 1510.
Yes.
Yes.
And, of course, Ron with us probably for another 15 minutes before we close out the show. But you have a tremendous memory. I don't walk in when you're. I've had the privilege over the years of walking in and watching you as you're going from one track to another and you sharing details.
That's because. And
why? How are you able to know all this information?
Because I do the research on the tracks.
Is that it?
If I find something interesting, I will delve into it. I will look for background on the material. Stuff that the average person wouldn't be familiar with, because I figure it adds interest to the program, you know?
But do you not have a more, is there a little bit more of a gift involved there as well?
Like
your memory?
Having a good memory helps.
It isn't photographic?
I've had people take pictures of my memory many times. They say it's very, very admirable. And they say, yeah, very good looking memory. But I'm easily influenced by certain songs. Other songs, if I don't care about them, I don't show any interest. But you know, certain groups, I had favorite groups. I loved the Drifters. I loved the Four Seasons. I loved the New York doo-wop sound. So I learned all I could about Dion and all these other individuals. And I would learn the background from them if I had the chance to speak to them.
Okay.
I spent an hour one day in Boston. He was there for he had come out with a book called The Wanderer. And I spent an hour with him at the bookstore asking him questions about the sessions. He had no recollection. These people, they don't remember anything from those days. It's a blur, you know?
Would you mind indulging me? If I was to play something, would you mind indulging me? As most of your audience doesn't know, unless they have a good ear and that they've seen you, I'd like to play a song. And if you would, would you share some of your vocals? Because I know you love to sing. And yes. if folks listen, there are certain songs that Ron plays that he has a signature anchor bass vocal. Am I wrong here?
No, you're not.
And I'm going to be honest with you folks as you tuned in here. There's been times that I've actually called and asked him to do it. And he's done it.
And I do get calls from people. They say, play this one and sing with this one. And I said, oh, you caught that, huh? Because I would try to blend in with the background vocals. They pick me right out. And I say, it seems there was a hole in there that should have been filled with something. So I had something okay. to it.
Well, I want to thank Tim McKenney, who helped me as far as do some research and make part of this happen. So I have three songs. I'm going to let you pick a song
yeah.
as to one that we'll give a little bit of a sampling. We won't go all the way through.
Mm.
But you'll get your choice. We also have a treat for folks, something that you actually put together. Because one of the other things that I like that you've done over the years is how you like to make a song your own. We'll get to that in a moment. Mm-hmm. But here's the songs that I have right now. Yeah. I have Sam Cooke,
yeah.
Chain Gang.
Yeah.
It's funny, you mentioned Chain Gang earlier. I almost right. played it underneath. I have Pilots of the Airway.
Yeah.
And I have Ricky Nelson's Traveling Man. So if you had a choice of which one of those that you would tease our audience.
Well, Gilligan, I'll tell you. If I had a choice, I would spend the evening in the hut with Marianne, and you can play checkers with Lovey. So there. Traveling Man.
All right. So without any further ado.
Here we go.
Featuring Mr. Ron Dwyer on Anchor Bass, Ricky Nelson's Traveling Man.
I'm a traveling man, made a lot of stops all over the world, and in every port I own the heart of at least one lovely girl. I've a pretty senorita waiting for me down in old Mexico, and if you're ever in Alaska, stop and see my cute little Eskimo. Oh, my sweet Fräulein down in Berlin town makes my heart start to yearn.
Very nice.
Yeah. So I just fit right in there.
You fit right in there. Nobody would know.
Ed Bowen was working an assignment one day, and the Jordanaires were there performing. And backstage, he was telling the guys how I add an additional bass line to their songs, whether they be backing up Elvis or Ricky Nelson or whoever. And they got a big kick out of it. I thought they'd be upset. Like, how dare he step on our toe? They thought it was great.
Really?
Yeah, the Jordanaires thought it was a very novel, interesting thing to do.
I think, as I teased just a moment ago, so one of my favorites, especially when you used to do Thursday nights here on WATD, and they'd be right around, I would say around 9:34, 9:35 p.m., you would play some Lorne Greene.
Yeah, I know what you're getting to. I did it one day. And I think it was in the afternoon, actually, the first time I did it, I played Ringo. And the boss, the owner, was up at the tower doing some work on some equipment up there. And for the fun of it, I said, let's see if he's listening, right? And I played Ringo. And it came to the point at the end of the song. He says, he lowered his gun, smiled, and said to me, we're even, friend. And I said, I'm going to drop something else in there instead. So I played it. What are you doing?
I'm just sneaking a little Ringo in the background.
Okay, sneaking up on me. So he lowered his gun, smiled, and said, and I dropped in the Shangri-Las, when I say I'm in love, you best believe I'm in love, L-U-V. And he called me and he said, that's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. And I knew I was on to something. So I created a whole series of Ringo songs with drop-ins. And then it expanded to other areas.
Right.
I would take openings to television shows. My favorite was The Invaders.
Oh, yeah, we got. We'll play that in a second here.
Yep.
But just folks have never heard Lorne Greene's Ringo. I'll just play a little bit snippet right now.
Yeah.
I knew someday I'd face the test, which one of us would be the best. And sure enough, the word came down that he was holed up in the town. I left the posse out in the street, and I went in alone to meet Ringo.
Just to tease it, just a smidge.
Yeah.
Now, and we should probably a little ode to the late Rich Mahenna, who I think he may have
He might have done a couple of samples for you here and there, correct?
Yeah, he tried to do it too.
Yeah.
But Richie didn't have the balance, and he used to drown out the vocal with his own vocal. I said, oh, Richie, you've got to show the balance. You have to fit in and not overpower the vocal the air, you know?
So we get about 10 minutes left to our segment here, but I want to give an opportunity before we get any further into your career, talk about your time in Boston radio.
Yep.
Tease us with this version, the special version regarding the Invaders.
Okay, I watched the Invaders by accident. It was on one day, and I caught the opening riff where they explained the concept of the show, what it's about, what you'd expect to see. And it's 55 seconds long, and it was done by a Hollywood performer, known better for his voiceover work in the industry than for being an on-screen talent. Although he did show up occasionally, he'd play a sheriff in a Western, he'd play a dramatic guy in this, and you'd never know who it was till he opened his mouth. He had this big, threatening, booming voice. You know, it was the voice of God giving you doom. And his name was William Woodson, okay? And I listened to him, and I said, listen to this guy. He threatens you to death, and you are scared because you know the aliens are going to get you. They've come to take over the Earth. And it opens up with the alien beings from another world, blah, 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 blah. I said, man, I got to watch this. So I got into watching the series from listening to him do the opening of the show. And I said, wait a minute. I'm going to branch out from Ringo. I'm going to do other things. I'm going to do movie teases, movie promotions, and do my drop-ins, because I love to use the Looney Tunes characters, you know, Daffy and Bugs and the whole troop. And I said, I can do something with this. He's supposed to overpower you with menace. And I said, let's lighten it up and use the Looney Tunes characters a little bit.
And let's do that now. Let's play, this is from the one and only...
The opening to the series of The Invaders.
Hey! What's come, Ossie? What's coming off here?
The Invaders.
Huh?
Alien beings from a dying planet.
Things are tough all over, Doc.
Their destination.
Pittsburgh.
The cave.
The Himalayas Mountains.
The Earth.
Don't give it a second thought.
Their purpose.
To see the hard diving act.
Mix radish juice and carrot juice.
Violate the sanctity of the American home.
To make it their world.
Why the noise with them guys? I'll kill them.
David Vincent has seen them.
Now just a minute, Doc. You gotta get up early in the morning to outsmart this rabbit.
David Vincent has seen them.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
David Vincent has seen them.
Of all the stupid suggestions.
David Vincent has seen them.
Get yourself a hobby.
David Vincent has seen them.
Go away, Doc. You bother me.
David Vincent has seen them.
You are a metal case.
David Vincent has seen them. Seen them. Seen them. David Vincent has seen them.
That settles it.
David Vincent has seen them.
Times you're right.
For him, it began one lost night on a lonely country road looking for a shortcut that he never found.
What an ultramaroon. What an ignoramus.
It began with a closed, deserted diner and a man too long without sleep to continue his journey.
It's bedtime. Sandman's waiting.
It began with the landing of a craft from another galaxy.
Better get at least 1,000,000 miles to the gallon. We'll get back in that little spaceship.
Now, David Vincent knows that the Invaders are here.
Ooh, I'm dying!
That they have taken human form.
Despicable.
Somehow he must convince a disbelieving world that the nightmare has already begun.
Ah!
Shut up! You doggone crazy idiot!
How does a nightmare begin?
Mix radish juice and carrot juice.
The Invaders.
You get the idea.
So how long, let me ask you this, how long did it take you to put this together?
Takes a few hours. You have to pick out the right tracks and arrange them to answer certain things that he says so it makes sense. It's logical in the way it's laid out. But the fun is in the preparation of putting it together. That's the fun of it.
And it's you've done this many times, not only for this, but like you said, this is kind of an extension of how you did it with Ringo. And there were other Lorne Greene songs that you also...
Yeah.
Tweaked as well.
Yeah, I do other Lorne Greene stuff, and I said, I can't stay with Ringo, so I take other tracks from his albums that he did. He did a number of albums way back when. And I said, I'll take this one, and I'll use this one over here. And Waco is one of my favorites.
Right.
It's a great tune, Waco. And I would use drop-ins on Waco. and people would start making requests. Do the one where he does such and such, or do this one. You know, they like it. It's entertainment.
When did you talk about your first job in radio? How did you get? Was it something where it was task, whether it's stacking records, or did they recognize your talent instantly?
I went to local hometown radio station because the rumor was circulating at the school, hey, they're looking for somebody at this station, right? So I hightailed it down there after class, and I walked in, and I talked to the head guy, and he says, no, we're not looking for anybody, but as long as you're here, take an audition. I said, oh, okay. So he says, here, these are some records. These are, and I went in, and he says, this guy will check the records over here, and you just do some voiceovers and talk and blah, blah, blah. So I thought it was terrible. It caught me completely off guard, unprepared. And I said, I'll never talk to this guy again. A month later, he called me. It was on a Saturday morning. One of the guys had left. He was working part-time. He found a full-time job somewhere. He says, we have a slot open on a weekend. I'd like to try you out. So I went in, and I said, don't listen to my show for about a month till I become adjusted. And he said, okay. So 4 weeks later, he says, fine, doing a fine job. And from there, from weekends, it grew to weeknights as well. So I had a full slate. I was going to college by then, full-time, doing six courses. And I said, oh, this is a heavy load. So I'd leave college, go home, rest up for a couple of hours. I had a 5.5-hour radio show to do at night.
Wow.
And all day on the weekend. And it stayed this way all through college. I was working, working, working. In fact, by around Christmas time, my first year, I got a call one night from a guy. He says, I'm the program director at WKBG-TV. They were KBG in those days. And Chris tells me that you'd be good for the booth. And I went, what? See, a friend of mine who I worked with at LYN landed a job doing an afternoon kid show at KBG-TV. And he would do little science tricks, and he'd show cartoons. This kind of thing. Yeah, and he had a little mascot. He had a little German Shepherd with him. That was his mascot. And they originally had him doing this, doing all the booth work, recording the day book for the next day. And he says, wait a minute, you hired me to do the kid show, not to do that too. They said, do you know anybody? And he says, yeah, this guy. So I got the call one night. It was the December the 23rd. And he says, you interested? I said, yeah, sure, I guess. And he says, come in tomorrow morning and do the sign-on. They signed on at 8 a.m. And he gave me the address. It was down on Commonwealth Avenue, the first location of the studios. And I walked into Master Control, and there's the switcher, and there's the audio guy. I said, I'm here to do booth. And he says, the booth's on the other side of the wall. There's a headset. You can talk to me through the headset. There's a monitor. And when I say cue announce, you just open your mouth and read whatever in the day book. I said, okay, fine. So for 8 hours, I did this. And at the end of the shift, the head guy calls me, says, come in Monday, we'll talk. So the following Monday, this was over Christmas holiday, I came in and they hired me. So I was the first regular booth announcer at old Channel 56 way back when.
Wow, fantastic. And now how did you get into Boston, the Boston market itself?
I was working at my first job, the small market station, and one day I got a call saying, we don't need you anymore, don't come in. I went, what?
What did I do?
I did nothing. I did some behind-the-scenes digging. They did it for my benefit because the guy knew it was time for me to move on and move up. And I said, that's a fine way to show it. Just kick me out on my keister, you know. So I said, I got to try this station over here. So I called up for an audition, and they were looking for a summer replacement announcer to handle all the vacation shifts that were coming up. And I went in, and that was on May 2nd, 1967.
Wow.
Yep. And I went in there, and it was in Park Square because WEZE, which is the wonderful world of music in those days, was in the Statler building. It was the first floor in the corner. And it was like a restaurant. You could walk by, peer in, see people doing the broadcasting and all this. So I walked in the main entrance, and I went, am I out of my league? Because the salespeople were walking around wearing $600 suits. And I said, this is not what I'm used to, you know. And they had a gorgeous girl sitting at the front desk. She looked like she belonged in Vogue magazine or something. And I went, whoa. So the head announcer came out. He took one look at me sitting there, and his eyes rolled back in his head. He says, I'm going to waste my time with this kid looking for a job. Because they had a steadfast rule. You had to have 6 years major market experience, or they wouldn't talk to you.
Is this RKO, or is this KISS?
This was EZE.
EZE, okay.
I'm talking 1967.
Just want to make sure we're all on the same page. And again, we're speaking with Ron Dwyer.
And so he says, well, come into my studio. He had his own private studio. And I looked at the board, and there was a tape deck in there, and he says, these are fader pots. And I said, I've never done faders, but I'll adjust to it. He handed me some UPI wire copy and a couple of spots. And he says, just put this together like it's a newscast. And I said, this is all you want? And he goes, yeah. And when you're through, hit the stop button and come look for me.
Little did he know.
So I looked at the news copy, and I looked at the ads, and I went, ice cream, right? So I rolled the tape, and I did it, and I stopped it, and I found him, and he came back, and he's like, oh, God, here we go. And he sat down, he rewound the tape, and he started listening to it, and after 2 minutes, he stopped the tape, and he says, I'll be right back. I have to talk to our program director. I knew I had the job.
Wow.
He wanted to go have this guy listen to this. So we played it for him, and he came in, and he says, yeah, we can use you. Summer replacement.
Wow.
And when I went back to school after the summer was over, I stayed on weekends. I used to work all day Sunday, and by then, I had left the small-time station a long time ago. So I was working Sunday, and I was still working the Channel 56 stuff. And I was busy all the time because after school, I would travel from college home, grab a bite. Into Boston I went to record the day book for the following day. So I was busy. I had no spare time to myself. It was always work, 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 work. But I was lucky because there was work to be done. A lot of people, you know, never had that opportunity. So I was working at the television station and the radio facility at the same time.
So all of that you did with you and your friend back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day.
Paid dividends.
It sure did.
It paid dividends. What other adventures did you have in Boston radio? Whether it was other radio stations, some of the behind-the-scenes stuff. Because folks don't realize that a lot goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah, some of the best stories, the funniest stories are the ones that you never hear about. And the Channel 56 stuff was great because during live broadcasts of sports events, they wanted me there live in the booth in case something technically went wrong, which happened all the time. And I said, why don't I just put it on a cassette? You can play it. And I said, no, we want you there live. So I had to go in. They had the contract for the Bruins and the Celtics.
All right.
So one night they're doing a Celtics game, and it's halftime. And I'm sitting in the booth, and I'm getting ready for I got an exam the next day, a history exam. I'm trying to cram for this thing. I'm wearing my headset so I can hear the director. And I'm reading blah, 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 blah. And next to me is the monitor, the video monitor. And in front of me is a copybook, and it's got a big lamp over it. And I said, why do they have to make it the seventh layer of hell in here? There's enough heat coming from this monitor. It's a tube monitor, video monitor. The lamp bulb is 150 watts. And when they shut the door to that little booth, it's like it's airtight in there. And I'm starting to sweat. And I'm stripping down to my underwear. I'm just sweating to death, right? And so it's halftime, and Bill Russell is talking to Red Auerbach, okay? This is 1967. And I hear in my headset, Booth, Phil, and I look at the monitor, and I can't believe what I'm looking at, because in those days, the signals were controlled by the telephone company, and somebody over a telco was pulling patch cords left and right. No. And for whatever reason, they fed us the Channel 38 feed, their video. So we had the proper audio. So you're listening to, well, Bill, what are we going to do in the third quarter? Well, Red, I'll tell you, we're going to do this, 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 and we're going to tighten up over here. And I'm looking at the video, and Channel 38 is broadcasting a caveman movie.
Oh, no.
And you got these long, shaggy-haired guys in loincloths, and they're holding torches, and they're dancing around a fire in a cave. And you hear Bill Russell talking to Red Auerbach.
Oh,
And so I said in my headset, I said, what would you like me to say? They said, cover it any way you can. So I said, ladies and gentlemen, as you can see, we're experiencing video difficulties with our broadcast. We will have this taken care of very shortly, so just bear with us. We'll continue with the audio portion. I'm thinking, as you watch this caveman movie.
What brought you to WATD? How did you find yourself here at WATD?
I was working down at, doing a weekend thing down in the Cape, and it was owned by the man who owns this place.
Ah.
And he came in to do some technical work on the board down there in the studio, and he was with Larry, and then Larry he says, this guy sounds like so-and-so. They come walking in, and I'm holding the board. They have it folded forward so we can get at the guts of the board. And I'm holding the thing up while I'm doing my show. And I'm saying, someday I will learn to laugh at this. And Ed is on his knees under there fixing something in the board. And he says, you ought to come up and talk to me at the station here. Maybe we can find something. So I came in one day, and he says, yeah, we have a slot open for you. Night's here. And he knew I was the guy because he knew that I knew oldies because we did oldies at night.
Right.
So that's how I came aboard here back in 93, January 93. I came aboard WATD.
Long, long time ago.
Long time ago, yeah.
So are you excited for MEX once that finally comes on air and once that is broadcasting?
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. The only disadvantage is that it's still on an AM signal. Because the FMs, you know, rule today for music.
Sure.
So we're going to have to be pretty darned exciting and interesting if we're going to draw people away from FM music back to the AM sound, which is what they grew up with eventually, and essentially way back when AM ruled the airwaves, because MEX was a powerhouse in the market with Arne Ginsberg and Fenway and Dan Donovan and Mel Miller and Melvin X. Melvin, the Gold Platter Show, the good guy radio days, you know. So we're just going to bring that sound back again and catch the older listeners who grew up listening to their favorite pop songs on AM bands. So it should be a lot of fun.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. And anything that we haven't touched upon, but if you want to take a moment to kind of touch upon, and this has been fantastic having you on. Maybe we could do a part two down the road somewhere and fill in some of the gaps that
we
missed.
There is a lot of material I have not even touched yet.
Right.
Background stuff.
Right.
Yeah, we could do that.
Definitely. Well, I want to thank you for being my guest for this portion of the program.
This time flew by. It just sailed. You know, tempus fugit. It's true. Time does fly.
And what's even more interesting is I think I said this to you when we were setting this up. I'm like, maybe we should do an hour. And foolish me, where I've got Radio Gold sitting right in front of me. I probably should have budgeted it better, but I think that my audience will be happy to hear from a gentleman like you.
Well, we can do part two down the road sometime.
Absolutely.
It'll be a lot of fun.
The legendary Ron Dwyer, who you hear him on the weekends, Oldies with Ron Dwyer, and you will soon be able to hear him on a legendary signal that we own here in-house, WMEX 1510. As we bring it back to its heyday. Well, that's all the program that we have here, folks. Thank you for tuning in. Until next week at 6:15 p.m., you've been listening to Monday Night Talk. Have a good evening.